There are so many incidents in the daily life of the Grand Fleet that it would not be possible to even touch on a hundredth part of them. The winter of 1917-18 was a severe one. It seemed we never went out without getting a dusting. There were the many excursions into the North Sea, the whole fleet rushing south, hopes running high that the enemy were out, only to learn they had gone back to harbour. Back again to recommence the daily and nightly firings and attack practices, some of which were on an extensive scale with the whole fleet, sometimes destroyers only. We developed smoke laying, a defensive weapon which might be used for attack under certain conditions. The new smoke floats were a great advance on funnel smoke, but although we smoked the fleet out of sight more than once, we failed to find a way of making use of it as a practical means of covering an attack. Night attacks, perhaps the true role of the destroyer, were much neglected during the war. At least the opportunities for practicing such were few compared to those of pre-war days. This was the natural result of the time spent in developing fighting with the fleet, primarily a daylight business. It is one of the disadvantages for a destroyer that so much time is necessary for exercises of all descriptions, in which big ships take the first place, that little is left for purely destroyer practice. And yet, when the day is over for the big ships, the destroyers must be ready to go on fighting through the night. Soon after I had taken over as Commodore, I wrote a memorandum to the CNC, setting out the conditions of the flotillas as I found them, and expressing the opinion that they were not, to my mind, fit to take an adequate part in a fleet action, and that I must be allowed time for training. I further proposed that the flotillas should be nominated as Exercise Flotilla, Convoy Flotilla, Duty Flotilla, and In Reserve. These duties to be changed weekly in rotation, so that Captain D would know exactly what to prepare for in the following week. These divisions of duty could not be rigidly adhered to. If the fleet went to sea, everything stopped at once, but normally at least, the exercise flotilla was sacred. Moreover, I wanted to be able to say to various squadrons, whether battle squadrons or cruiser squadrons, when they wanted destroyers for picking up torpedoes, towing targets and other jobs, that there were none available if the duty flotilla was already employed. I showed this letter to Admiral Madden before sending it, for I knew it was criticism to some extent of the CNC himself, or at least of the fleet staff work. Admiral Madden said, "You must send it." And I did, rather expecting to be packing up shortly. However, I never heard a word, except that my proposals were approved. I got into trouble with one or two rear admirals, who thought they were not being treated so liberally as they should be in the matter of destroyers. And one described me as a jumped-up captain with too much power, which was, of course, repeated to me with joy by friends.